It's time for From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine with Cray Schapp. A golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around, trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Shortgrass is presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, and brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Shortgrass, here's your host, Trey Schapp.
Welcome to another edition of From the Shortgrass. I am your host, Trey Schapp. For those that might be listening to this podcast for the very first time, you won't notice anything different. But for those of you who are regular listeners, you will notice that we have a new title sponsor, UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. They are dedicated to keeping you in the game from sports injuries to joint replacement. They provide world-class care right here in Arkansas. Call 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment today and get back to living pain-free. That's 501-686-8674. I want to personally thank Dr. Lowry Barnes and the staff at UAMS for their sponsorship of From the Shortgrass. Congratulations to Lydia Ko. She wins the AIG Women's Open played over the Old Course at St. Andrews, Scotland. Lydia Ko finishes at minus 7 under par, 2 shots ahead of Jie Shin, Lilia Vu, Nelly Korda, and Runyong Yin. Lydia Ko picks up her first major title in 8 years. She won the gold medal at the Olympics playing over Le Golf National several weeks ago and now has a victory at the AIG Women's Open at the Old Course in St. Andrews, Scotland. She has definitely solidified herself as an LPGA Hall of Famer. On the PGA Tour, it was the second leg of the FedEx Cup playoffs. The BMW Championship saw Keegan Bradley take the top spot. He fired a 4-day total of minus 12, 1 shot ahead of Sam Burns, Ludvig Åberg, and Adam Scott, who were at minus 11. Castle Pines returned to the PGA Tour tournament schedule after an absence of several years. Keegan Bradley, a winner again on the PGA Tour, and he is also your Ryder Cup captain for 2025 at Bethpage Black. With the win, Keegan Bradley now sits fourth in the FedEx Cup standings. The final leg coming up this weekend at Eastlake Golf Club in Atlanta, Georgia. Scottie Scheffler goes in first with a 1,193-point lead over second-place Xander Schauffele. Hideki Matsuyama is third. Keegan Bradley is fourth. He went in at number 50, was the last player to get into the field at Castle Pines, ends up winning, and now he is fourth. Coming up on this edition of From the Shortgrass, I sit down with former Arkansas Razorback great Darren McFadden. With football season kicking off, I thought, why not sit down with one of the best Razorbacks of all time? He plays golf, not as much as you or I might play, but he plays the game and might even start playing a little bit more when he gets a chance. You'll hear more from Darren after the break. We're back with more From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. After this, stay with us.
Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group is the leader in the state in managing hotel properties. From El Dorado to Jonesboro to Fayetteville to Kansas City and back home in Little Rock, you will find a Beachwood Pinnacle managed hotel property. Are you looking for a weekend staycation? Book the Hilton Garden Inn located on Rock Street and enjoy the Agassi 7 rooftop bar with fantastic views of the Little Rock skyline. Open Sunday through Thursday evenings from 4 to 11 and Friday and Saturday from 5 to midnight. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
This is Justin Akre. If you have hip or knee pain, it's time to see the experts at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. I've known Dr. Lowry Barnes for years, and he is a Hall of Fame surgeon who has operated on many Hall of Famers like Terry Bradshaw and Sidney Moncrief. He refers to Dr. Jeff Stambo and Dr. Ben Stronach as the best joint surgeons in Arkansas, and they all work at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. Call 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment. That's 501-686-8674.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Darren McFadden, arguably the best Razorback football player ever. Two-time Doak Walker Award winner, two-time runner-up to the Heisman Trophy. He basically did everything you could do on a football field. Played quarterback, played running back, played receiver. Wanted to play on the defensive side of the ball, but Coach Nutt wouldn't let him. And yes, he's even picked up a golf club a time or two. I was lucky enough to sit down with Darren a couple of weeks ago, and I hope you enjoy my sit down with him. On the tee, Darren McFadden.
Darren, thanks for joining me on From the Shortgrass. Before we get into talking golf, let's talk about you. Yes, what are you up to these days?
For me right now, I'm in a situation. I'm blessed to be able to be at home with my family right now. So that's one of my main things, staying at home with the wife and kids. Well, kids mainly, you know, just trying to take care of them. Me and my wife have three children at home. We have a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old. She'll be 5 September 12th. And we have a 3-year-old who just turned 3 August 9th. And so that's where a lot of my time goes, you know, running around with them, doing different activities. And so it's a joy to be able to be at home and enjoy this time with them, because I have older kids that live with their mom. And, you know, I was always playing football and traveling. And so just being able to be at home and take everything in, seeing the first day of school, first steps and everything, it's definitely a joy for me.
In the North Texas area?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah. I'm out in a town called Prosper. It's probably,
I know where that is,
45, 50 minutes north of Dallas. So yeah. It's funny. I have a lot of friends and stuff. When they get down to Dallas, they're like, oh, I'm in town. You know, what are you doing? Grab some lunch or something. Like, yeah, I'm probably 45, 50 minutes from where you are. And, you know, I send them an address or something. And then they're like, okay, man, I'll catch you next time. Yeah, I figured that.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to make that drive right all the way up the DNT to find you.
Right. It's not a tough drive, but it's a long drive. Man, I tell people, if I was here at home and somebody told me, hey, you want to go to Hot Springs and have lunch or dinner, I'd probably tell them, nah, I'll pass on that until a weekend or something. But, you know, it's pretty much a normal drive in that area, but one I don't make very often.
Yeah. Obviously, I mean, your time in the NFL, most of it was as a Raider.
Right.
Do you still follow the Raiders? You follow the Cowboys, being in that North Texas area? And I know you were a Cowboy for a while.
Oh, yeah. So for me, growing up was a Cowboy fan out of Magley. And, you know, I tell people I was raised a Cowboy fan. I was a Denver Bronco fan growing up. I was a fan of Terrell Davis and then also Pittsburgh Steelers with Jerome Bettis. But, you know, being drafted by the Raiders, I didn't know much about them, but I knew that they had a strong history there. And so being able to go there and play for them, playing for an iconic owner like Al Davis, it was a great experience. And but to get to your question, I definitely keep up with the Raiders a lot. They have alumni foundation that they're very big with their former alumni and everything. And so anytime they get an opportunity to invite guys out. And so I've probably go out there, well, say Oakland, but then Las Vegas probably 2 or 3 times a year just to do events with the Raiders. And it's always a joy, you know, still being in Dallas area. I'm not as involved with Cowboys, former players and things as I am with the Raiders, but it's still a joy to be in that area. And I enjoy it there. Like I said, my wife, she's originally from California, but she liked the Dallas area there. And so I think it's a good home for us for now.
Your backfield mate at Arkansas, Felix Jones. He was a Cowboy. How much do you guys still stay in touch?
You know, I tell people, Felix is like my brother from another mother, man. We're still very close and everything. We try to get together from times, you know, having families at home and everything. You know, you don't get to hang out as much as you did or would like to. But, you know, anytime we get together, it's always a joy to catch up with them and enjoy each other. You know, we've invited each other kids to birthday parties and everything. So it's something that we continue to keep our relationship going.
Yeah, that's awesome. Let's go back to when you were in high school, playing for John Mays at
John
Oak
Mays.
Grove.
Yes, sir.
He's a guy that loves the game of golf. He's pretty good as well.
He definitely is. He definitely loves the game of golf. And I hadn't played golf with him, but I've definitely heard that he's very good out there, and he takes it very seriously. It's funny you say that. So Coach Mays, John Mays, who I played for in high school, his son, Chris Mays, I maybe jump ahead of you and everything too, but his
You're
son,
good.
Chris Mays, he's a golf pro at Pleasant Valley Country Club, and that was one of my first jobs in high school was being, I guess, a cart boy. We go meet guys in the parking lot, get their clubs, take them to the cart, strap them on and everything, and then once they got done playing, we would take them off, clean them, take their clubs out, clean them, dry them off and everything, and, you know, put them back in their cars for them. And it was the first job for me, and it was a fun job. I was very thankful to have the opportunity to be able to work out there, and I met a lot of great people in there out there when I was working there.
I was going to say, I mean, people back then, probably if they would have known what you were about to become, they might have said, hey, I might be able to tip you a little bit more.
No, it's funny you said it. So when I was getting the job there, that was a big thing. Talking with Chris, like, so, you know, have all these NCAA rules and everything. So, like, if anybody give you a big tip, and, you know, everybody tips, so you have different ideas of what's a big tip. And so he threw a number on them, like, oh, so, yeah, that is a big tip. So I was like, got you there. But, you know, unfortunately, any of those things didn't happen, but it was still a great experience being there for sure.
What was it like working for Chris?
It was fun, man. The only thing that I didn't like, and Chris will probably tell you, I didn't like having to shave my mustache and my beard at the time. You know, being in high school, it's just starting to grow in good and everything. So I felt like, man, I don't want to have to go shave my beard and my mustache. And so I would always try to, you know, stretch it out as long as I could. And, you know, one morning I was in there and I was pretty shaggy and everything. And so he's like, when the last time you shaved? And I was like, oh, it's probably been a few days. And he's like, gave me a razor and some shaving cream, man.
I sent you to the locker room, huh?
I had to go in there and shave it up, but you know, it was all good. That was part of what I was supposed to do when I was there, and you know, I enjoyed it, and you know, I don't have any regrets about it at all.
Back then, I mean, every kid wanted to have a little facial hair in high school. You know, it made you look older, right?
And I was definitely that one. You know, I had the beard, the chin strap starting to connect, and goatee was growing in, and. You know, I enjoyed that look, feeling like, I guess I felt like it made me look older at the time.
Did you know back then that Coach Mays was as good at golf as you know now?
I can't say I knew exactly how good he was, but I knew he played a lot. And I had an idea just from hearing him talking, other people talk about golf, that he was pretty good at golf. And, you know, I don't think the aspect of how good he was really registered at the time, but, you know, over the years you figured it out and put it together.
Did you watch much golf back then, or was it not cool?
No, golf is something I've never really played golf or watched golf growing up or anything, so I didn't get into golf until I was old enough to, you know, get out there. I would say my first time actually going out and playing golf was probably when I was in the NFL and going to a charity golf event or something. But other than that, I hadn't probably hit some balls at like a mini golf, or I don't even think we had Top Golf. Well, we had Top Golf, but they weren't the same Top Golf that they
right.
are now.
Right.
So it's like Gator Golf. So that's probably the most golfing that I've done.
Sort of the little putt-putt courses
stuff.
Like team bonding activities. I mean, nowadays I see pictures from football programs and stuff, and they take the team to like a Top Golf or something. And back in your day, you didn't have that. What did Coach Nutt do with you guys?
And so I think our team bonding things were different. We would go to Coach Nutt's house. He would have a cookout at his house and everything, and invite guys to come out to his house. And we did a few different things. Well, I can say they were more so not football focused thing, but like team bonding. I can remember going to like rec centers and swimming and stuff. And I mean, for some reason, I remember an ice rink up there somewhere. It's been so long ago, but we did different things just to get out. You know, let guys be around each other, not just in football, you know, just to learn each other personally, learn about each other's family or friends and everything. You know, it's good to be able to know your teammates, not just know them for the football player who they are, but know them as a person.
Coach Nutt plays golf.
Yeah, I don't know if Coach Nutt is as enthusiastic about golf as Coach Mays is.
Probably not. And then there's another coach that was your offensive coordinator 1 year when you were up there, Gus Malzahn. He loves the game.
Those guys are – they're big on golf. You know, it's something that I don't know if my my patience has let me take it up all the way, because, like I said, I get out and I play golf. If I can play golf two or three times a year, I feel like I've played golf a ton that year. But I'm on my second time this year, and so I've pretty much hit my quota already.
So now it's time to put the clubs up. Maybe football season's almost here. You're ready to watch some football,
right?
I'm
definitely.
Sure.
So I'm looking forward to the football season coming up. You know, it's kind of that dead time of the year. Not much is going on. You see training camps and stuff, but you know, I'm ready for some action.
So when you would play in these charity events or whatever, the first time you went out there, were you nervous? What were you like? What was Darren McFadden like?
I don't think nervous could explain it. I tell you, I can go and play in front of 80, 90,000 people and, you know, not even drop sweat without running them. But going out there to play golf, and it's like, it's fine when we're on one of the back holes and everybody was just around, it's just us around. But when you get to the holes and they have sponsors at the holes, and it's like your nerves shoot through the roof, because going into it, when I knew the guys who I was playing with in my group, and so they knew I couldn't play golf, and so it was pretty much I'm here for the moral support, pretty much. But you know, so it was mostly joking, having fun. But at some point, like, okay, as a competitor, I want to be able to hit this ball and try to do something. So start to take it a little serious, and I can't say I'm decent at golf, but for me, I can get the ball off the tee now at least, and so it's a long ways for me.
When you look at the game, I mean, like you say, you can get the ball off the tee now. Is it just a slow process for you? I mean, obviously, you have to dedicate the time to it. And with all the kids you have, I mean, that takes a lot of your time. But if you were to really get into it, what do you think would be the best part of your game?
I think for me, just to take the time and actually play golf and get the repetition of it and get your form down right, I think if I actually did that, I would be pretty good, because, you know, I just try to take some of the tips that people give me, and times when I think about it and actually sit and focus, take my time, keep my arm straight, coming through. And, you know, I can get the ball off pretty good. I don't know if I'll be a good driver, because I feel like my drives always slice when I do get a good hit on them. And so I think I'm be more of somebody to pick a five iron or something, you know, probably can hit the ball a little bit. I'm not a super far driver or anything, but, you know, I get the ball decent down the field.
I would think. I mean, you still, like, you could go tote the mail today if you had to in a game. I mean, with your arms, I would think you'd be able to crush the golf ball.
And that's what everybody I play with always tell me. It's not about, like, you know, me using my physical strength. Is just more so about just keeping my form and getting a solid hit with it. Mm-hmm. And as far as feeling like I can tote the mail, in my mind I feel like I can, but you know, physically, that's a different story there.
All right, let's go back to some football times. Best stadium atmosphere you ever experienced in college?
In college, I'm sure everybody will probably say it, but I got to go with LSU hands down. Just being down in there, sitting down in that field like that, it's literally sitting down in a valley. And then the fans, you know, they take it to the next level for sure. My freshman year going playing LSU, it was late game. You know, we always played that
day after Thanksgiving game. Yeah.
It was a night game. And as a freshman, 18 years old, getting off the bus, you see a fan standing here with a real hog head on a stick. And it was like one of the craziest things I ever seen in my life, and never seen anything like it anywhere else in football. But LSU was the one place that I seen it.
I mean, what were you thinking? What is this Cajun doing?
It was – I didn't know what to think. I was like – I thought it was like – I didn't know what to think, but it was a real hog head. I thought it was fake or something, but it was a real hog.
Wow. And then I think a lot of people think of the We Got That Wood game. Mm. Down there, where the play that I remember the most is you're running down the near sideline, and I'm saying the near sideline because that's the press box side, that's the LSU sideline. Their team's there, and Casey Dick's kind of trying to lead the way. And all of a sudden, you kind of give him like, hey, there's a guy behind me. And he kind of comes back and is able to block him off.
So that's probably my favorite play of that whole game. You know, I tell people just the sequence of it, running the ball, getting up into it, leading up to that play. It's like when I hit it, I took off, and I knew that my wind, I felt my legs, everything felt heavy on me. And at the corner of my eye, I could see this guy taking off. And the way that he was moving, I said, he's moving faster than what I'm moving right now. And so as I'm running, you know, I can look up and I can see him on the screen here. And I see Casey, he's just running. He's like, yeah, you go, go. And I'm like, I'm looking at him like, Casey, he's behind me. Get him. And he finally looked back and he just smacked him. And, you know, that was Casey touchdown for sure.
What did it mean to you to have your head coach have your back in the Heisman Trophy race?
Man, that meant the world to me. You know, being around a guy like Houston, he's a great person all around. He's a great head coach, but he's a people's person. And, you know, just having somebody that care about you as a person, and not just as a player, but as a person, he actually hires your family doing and everything. You know, just having a guy like that have your back, and, you know, for what he had been through as a head coach and everything he's gone through as a head coach, but to still go out there and support me the way that he did. And, you know, I just love him, and I'm very appreciative of him forever.
You won the Doak Walker Award twice. You were runner-up to the Heisman twice. I mean, do you ever sit back and think, man, I should have beat Tim Tebow, or maybe the year before you should have won?
I always tell people I feel more so my second year, because I feel like my sophomore year, I came onto the scene late, and it was just last four or five games pretty much for me, but I made a big push. And so I felt like that really set me up going into my junior year. And also hearing people say that, oh, since you were a sophomore, they don't really get the Heisman Trophy to sophomore. And so, like, okay, understandable. I came on late. I'm a sophomore. Got another year. So go through the next year. And after rushing for 321 yards, I'm like, okay, that's a good icing on the cake. And then get down to LSU and go for 206 and four touchdowns. You know, I'm like, I've never been the type of person who expect to get awards, but I felt like that I had secured the Heisman, and I can't take anything from what Tebow did that year. And however people broke it down in the vote, and he had, if you break it down the way they did, however they broke it down, he had great numbers. I had great numbers, but came down to sophomore and junior, and I feel like, and you know, it's back to being a sophomore and junior. But you know, I can't do anything but commend Tebow. He had a great career, and he had a great year that year. And you know, I was very disappointed about it, though, but it's something that, you know, I've moved on from it, and, you know, it's just it's water under the bridge for me.
But there are so many Razorback fans, Darren, that think you should have won it, and I'm one of those persons that I'm like, most of Tebow's touchdowns were like from 3 yards and in. I mean, anybody can get behind a big offensive line and score from there, right?
And I tell people, man, I think he had like 20 rushing, 20 passing touchdowns. If you look at the numbers and how they broke down field-wise, it's hard to not give it to a running back. But, you know, having a school like Florida and having everything that they have going with them, and then you look at Arkansas, people still think Arkansas is like horses and cows walking down main streets and everything.
Yeah.
Like, man, it's nothing like that. But, you know, it was just, you know, I feel like from a public standpoint, everybody like, oh, the Florida Gators. Yeah, we know the Florida Gators. And then he's been a great player for the Florida Gators. So if you have Darren McFadden on the Florida Gators, then I think it's a different thing. But, you know, it was Arkansas. But at the end of the day, hey, it's always Arkansas. Go Hogs forever.
It is what it is. So you got to go to New York twice for the Heisman Trophy ceremony. You obviously been there when you played in right across the Hudson in New Jersey against the Jets or the Giants. But then you also got to go to New York when you were inducted into the National Football Hall of Fame, the Black Tie Affair, and your tux that night was fantastic, by the way. What do you remember about that, and what does that mean?
It was just a great feeling. I think I may have been the youngest player to go in my class, and it was maybe one of the youngest players in the to go in, period. But it was just a great feeling. Have my former coaches there. You know, Coach Houston Nutt was there. Danny Nutt was there. My great friend Dean Weber was there. Had my parents, their sisters, brothers. It was just a great feeling. It's been tons and tons of guys come through the NCAA playing football. And, you know, just to be mentioned among some of the best, you know, it's just a great honor. And I appreciate the state of Arkansas and the fans who have supported me throughout the years. And, You know, just being able to go out there and represent the state of Arkansas, it's always a great feeling.
Let's go back to high school. Would you do anything different in your football career?
I tell people I wouldn't do one thing different. Even with some of the mistakes that I've made over the years and everything that were not so bright spots in my career, I feel like everything that I've been through, it made me as a person. It made me to the person that I am today. And, you know, I wouldn't change any of that.
All right. Last couple of questions on golf. The best golf course you've ever played. Do you know where it was? I'm sure it was a charity outing.
The funny thing about it, I can say that I was there, but I actually didn't play this time. But it was at Pebble Beach.
Oh, wow.
In Monterey. And that was a great course and just all around great area to be in there.
It's not bad out there, is it?
Definitely so.
I mean, that's top of the line,
D-Mac. When we went to that event, we drove up from Oakland down to Monterey and, you know, just making that ride. It was a gorgeous ride. I enjoyed it.
It is. It's pretty nice. All right. Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, three other players that you could have on your team and you play a round of golf with, who would they be?
Ooh. I got to take my guy, Coach Mays. I got to take him for
okay.
sure. I would love to get out there and just play some golf with Tiger Woods. Ooh, let me see who else. I say Jordan Spieth because he's a Dallas guy.
That's pretty good. You, John Mays, Tiger Woods, and Jordan Spieth?
Let me see. I got to throw my guy, Coach Nutter, Coach Miles, in there, man. Just for the conversations
hey,
on the course.
It's your group. You can do what you want, right?
Yes, sir.
You think you might try to spend a little more time playing?
I think as time goes on for me, like I say, for me right now, a lot of my time is at home with the family and everything. But as time goes on, I feel like I'm a competitor, so I want to be good at golf. And so the times that I do get out there, I want to be able to go out there and play and play decent for myself and not just feel like I'm just an extra guy on the team.
If your kids come to you and say, Dad, I want a set of golf clubs, what are you going to do?
I'll probably head out the door and get them right then and there. You know, it's easy to them coming and saying, oh, Dad, I want to be a race car driver or something. Or, you know, even with football, you know, people ask me that about football for my kids and everything. You know, playing football and know the dangers of it and everything. If my children wanted to play football, I have two boys that play football. So if they want to play, I'm going to let them play. And, you know, but I'm not going to force anything on them.
Awesome. Darren, thanks so much for the time.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the real fans stay. Staybridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, Bogle Park, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with the newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. When you need an overnight place to stay anywhere in Arkansas, check out bphotels.com first. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
This is Justin Akre. If you have hip or knee pain, it's time to see the experts at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. I've known Dr. Lowry Barnes for years, and he is a Hall of Fame surgeon who has operated on many Hall of Famers like Terry Bradshaw and Sidney Moncrief. He refers to Dr. Jeff Stambo and Dr. Ben Stronach as the best joint surgeons in Arkansas, and they all work at the Orthopedic and Spine Hospital at UAMS Health. Call 501-686-TOSH to schedule your appointment. That's 501-686-8674.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group, one of our great sponsors of From the Short Grass, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen, they know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you go to their website, bphotels.com, find one of their outstanding properties, and book it. That's all you have to do. I want to thank Darren McFadden for spending time and sitting down with me. A week ago, we had Rhett Lashley on an episode of From the Short Grass, and his SMU Mustangs got off to a nice start. They beat Nevada on the road at Nevada. Not an easy place to win. Thanks for listening, as always. If this is your first time hearing about From the Short Grass, you can always go back to our podcast channels and find old episodes. We are everywhere you get your podcast, even on YouTube. That's right, From the Short Grass is on YouTube. That's it for this edition. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Short Grass.
You have been listening to From the Shortgrass, presented by UAMS Health Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network in association with Majestic Cubby Productions.